This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Joe Shad, I want to bring this up real quick. Joe Shad asked a question to Dolphins fans because he covers the Dolphins. Used to be of ESPN, and he covers the Fish for the Palm Beach Post. And he said, should the Dolphins ask or instruct Tua Tagovailoa to stay completely away from any potential tackles after a turnover? 74% said, actually almost 75% said yes. And my response was, all quarterbacks should be instructed to avoid tackling after turnovers. It's not going to make the situation better, and in some cases, will alter the franchise and future beyond anyone's imagination.
I am in total agreement.
No quarterbacks ever. No. Unless it's a playoff game, and it's like if it were the Roethlisberger situation, it's like, all right, knock yourself out because we're going to lose anyway if you don't get them. But, man.
I just watched the Chargers last week, and Justin Herbert had a ball tipped at the line. It was picked off. Chargers playing? I don't even know.
They were playing the Tennessee Titans.
He started running over there, and he got juked right there on the goal line. And I'm like, no, dude, get out. I know you're mad. You get, and I know you're thinking, hey, if I could just run him out of bounds, then they got it's goal to go. But you know, it's tough to score down here sometimes. It's not worth it. It's never worth it. Get out of the way. Let him score.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda ain't fun, but if Baker doesn't try to make after Anthony Schwartz alligator arms that pass, and if Baker doesn't try to make that tackle,
does it change things forever here?
He gets probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $280 million.
It's crazy to think about.
I'm serious. He probably gets 280 to 260 to 280. Most is guaranteed. Out of the draft, God, who do you take? And that, honestly, we are arguing and bickering every day on the radio if he is a guy that can take us to the promised land. And the vitriol is strong. Like, now, there's very few people that will give us a fight. Like, nobody's calling in to say Deshaun Watson can still do it. It's over. That's done. And anybody who does believe that, they're going to put their head in the sand and they're not going to listen to this. So that's it. I'm talking to nobody there.
And hope we don't remember.
And hope we don't remember. But what if it, like if Baker doesn't try to make that tackle and they just live to play another down? I mean, he might have gotten hurt against Arizona for crying out loud, but who knows? So many things are different. I don't think that we are like Super Bowl champs. I can't guarantee that. But I think we're a playoff team multiple times, not just last year. I do think there is a big argument of, is he worth the money? Was he worth the the tanking? Is he the type of guy that can get over? I think that he's the same guy. Like, is he as good as, can he be as good as and beat Josh Allen or Mahomes or Burrow or Lamar or any of that stuff? And those are much more fun conversations to have than, do you think Jameis Winston can play well enough to be the starter in 2025? That's a hell of a lot better conversation to have, isn't it? Boy, never ever. I don't care what level you're at. My buddy's son, who's the quarterback of our team, you throw a pick, son, get out of the way.
Is it
get
just
out of the way? I don't give a.
The humiliation of it?
I don't care.
And the rage of it that these guys start thinking, I can't believe that just happened. Now I've totally made a blunder, and I have to try to fix it.
It looks bad. You feel bad. Like, a lot of these times when they go to try to make the tackle, you're in either a pressure pack situation where you're trying to win, and you have to go down the field, or you're on your way in. Like, you're at their 30 and you're thinking, man, this drive's coming together. We can put one in the end zone here and get going with this. And then you turn it over. It's frustrating. Usually there was a turnover earlier that day and you go try to make a tackle and you look terrible. Things like your shoulder being broken doesn't happen all the time. It just doesn't lead to good things. Stay out of there. Like, you and I having a great big argument earlier today, and then Daryl, which, guys, I love Daryl, but if we're going to do this, and we will, we are going to get into this in earnest. Which, by the way, I'm convinced they're going to take Jalen Milroe now, because I don't want them. They're going to take him. They're going to take Jalen Milroe. I guarantee it. It's going to happen. Mark it down, Owen. We got to watch these games, guys. You can't just sit there and tell me, well, he didn't do well against Georgia Tech. No. Cam Ward, as of right now, Cam Ward's my guy. I like Cam Ward a whole bunch. Shador Sanders will be there. We can talk about Shador Sanders. But there is a conversation to be had, and I'll grant you this, and I will grant Daryl this. I mean, he doesn't need my permission for nothing. But if Jameis Winston plays well enough over the final eight games, okay, we'll see where it goes. Because you could win some football games and then be out of that position where, do you want to trade up for one of these guys? Would that be it? Because I see the mock drafts, and you got Travis Hunter going number one overall. I think that there might be some teams at the top of the draft. Maybe they don't need quarterbacks. But I think that usually, you know how this league works, Anthony. Like, these guys, some of these guys are going to go right up. I mean, at this
they're
point
all
last
get
year,
overdrafted.
At this point last year, J.J. McCarthy was just starting to rise. Mm-hmm. But at the beginning of the year, it's like, third-round pick. Third-round guy. You'll come in, be a hell of a hand. And now you got Cam Ward going number two overall, according to Ryan Wilson, to the New York Giants. Cam Ward, number two. He's got us taking Tet McMillan, who's a tremendous wide receiver out of Arizona. I worry about his injury history. And then, of course, Chris Trapasso has us taking Jalen Milroe. They're going to take Jalen Milroe. He has us taking Jalen Milroe over Cam Ward. Can't wait for my future. That's going to be fun.
All right. Well, you can always change your mind, too, if he's good. Bo Nix last
can
year.
I?
Did he end up going 12?
Can I? I just started. Did, I screamed at you at 640.
And where did Kenny Pickett end up going?
Number 20 overall. He's the first quarterback off the board.
They're all going to get overdrafted. We know that. Obviously, right now, almost all the pundits are out on these guys in terms of guaranteed prospect. Like, this guy is going to come in and elevate your quarterback room. But I just know the way that this league works and how a lot of it, and I used to not think this. I used to think you're either good or you're not. Doesn't matter where you go. I think that's changing again. I think we're getting back to, it does depend where you go, and it does kind of help in certain situations.
Now more than ever.
And
I'm glad.
How's your offensive line?
Thank you for coming over.
Well, look at Nathan. Nathan just came on and was like, the offensive line play in this league is terrible. But if you can go to a team that has a decent offensive line,
it has become more important than it's ever been. It's a cyclical league, and maybe at some point we might get back to, hey, you're either good or you're not, and that's it. Because there's some guys that are just undeniable. You know, I made the biggest case ever back in the day, like Patrick Mahomes wouldn't be Patrick Mahomes had the Browns taken him at that time. I don't know. That talent is just undeniable. I don't think I could. But, like, you look at Caleb Williams, and I went off on a diatribe during the preview show a couple of nights ago. Well, why, if you were going to make a change, why didn't you just make a change there? Like, that seems so Brownsian. Well, we're going to leave the head coach there, and he's going to have his offensive coordinator there, even though no one's going to respect him. And then we're going to bring in Caleb Williams. And go, the only thing that's changed for Caleb Williams is the jersey, and that you're officially being paid for the job now. That's it. I mean, they're going to win based on you. They're going to win based on whether or not you can get the ball to your wide receivers. Your offensive line is still not good. Your defense is better with the Bears, but your defense is still not that great. And it's still based on all you. You need support. These guys will need support. And that's maybe the best argument I can give to a guy like Kevin Stefanski, where, like, I don't care if they win or if they lose against New Orleans. I'm not going to care about Kevin Stefanski's job and saying he must lose his job, unless it's just egregious coming up on Sunday. Because I know that they said, well, it's a fireable, in the afternoon, they said it's a fireable offense if he loses to, if they lose to New Orleans. I don't know. Can he take care of a good quarterback? I mean, he had a guy once who looked like he could take care of a good quarterback. Can he do that?
Will it even be Kevin Stefanski?
That's the thing. Can he do that?
You know, grooming this guy.
Because you need support with these guys. 216-474-0092. Let me get to Josh. Got to go quick. Go.
Oh, what if Baker never threw that pick and busted up his shoulder? I love that we're actually having this conversation. I would think...
Well, it was a sidebar. Hey, I don't know if it was a full-on, but go ahead. Quick, go.
But let's think about it. Right now, he's still... The one thing that's been consistent with Baker is he keeps getting new coordinators, and right now, in Burrow, the most passing touchdowns in the league, top five in every category in terms of completion percentage, yards, and all that.
Yeah.
How would he look with the two-time coach of the year if he would have just stayed pat and you keep all your draft picks? Because I hear a lot of people kept saying at the time, screw the contract. This is what quarterbacks get paid. So screw what you were going to pay Baker Mayfield.
We would, honestly, Josh, and thank you for the call. We'd have three more picks, so who knows where we'd be with those guys. And then we would be probably arguing whether or not he has the goods to make it over the hump with all those other guys. And there would be an argument about, well, should we just cut bait with him because he ain't good enough to play? That would be brought up as well. But no, you'd be in a better position. Let's be serious about that. And that's why you never go try to make that tackle.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Joining us from the Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, as she does every Tuesday at 11. And we thank her profusely for that. She is Mary Kay Cabot. Hi, Mary Kay.
Hey, Mary Kay.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, good.
We're okay. We just had a 40-minute discussion about the terminology Jed Wills used yesterday and then kind of the reality of the situation. Our big problem with what Jed said was we just thought, oh, young man, you probably shouldn't have used business decision as the two words you used to describe not playing. What did you think when you heard Jed speak yesterday?
I thought the same thing. It really doesn't sound very good to say that you made a business decision not to play a football game. It just doesn't, even if he didn't mean it exactly quite like that, that just doesn't have a good ring to it. And I know he's taking heat out there in the world for it. And I think all of us tried to write it very respectfully. And I think we kept it in context, wrote it how he said it. I know we followed up with a whole bunch of questions to make sure that we were getting it absolutely right. It's a very professional bunch that we have in there. And I don't think we did him wrong in any way, shape, or form. I think we represented accurately what he said. But it's just not going to play well out there, even if you are hurt, to say that you were the one that decided not to play, because we know in the NFL, these are decisions that are made by the medical staff mostly and the player. They work together on it. And usually it's not the player deciding, I am not healthy enough to play. So we'll have to see how this one is going to play out.
Do you feel like the bridge has been burned for the future past this season?
I'm going to say no.
Really?
Because I have seen, I'll tell you why, because I have seen so many bridges seemingly burned, and then things change, cooler heads prevail, and I don't know if what Jed said or did rises to the level of what Jadeveon Clowney did when he just decided that he didn't want to play in a football game because he didn't like the way that he was being used. Now, that's different. That's grounds for the end of your career in a certain city. But what Jed did, I think he was just trying to say, I was not healthy. I didn't feel like I could play, and I made this decision. Now, it was a little bit, actually a lot stronger than anything that we ever hear other players talk about in this regard. But I still don't think it's necessarily a slam dunk deal breaker.
Mary-Kate, when we heard, you were sitting there looking at him. We heard what he said, and it sounded like he was surprised that he didn't get his job back. What did you take when you're sitting there looking at him? What was his reaction there?
Well, he said that he was pretty shocked that he got benched. But I think that, you know, if you really look at the big picture of it, it makes total sense, because if he's the one deciding and kind of overriding what the medical staff basically said, then, you know, I can kind of see why that would happen. However, I'm sure there are extenuating circumstances here. Maybe the Browns were going to go in this direction anyways because they want to see what DeJuan Jones can do at left tackle. So, you know, I just don't know that we can say that it's completely 100% over for Jed here. It seems like it. But again, I have seen stranger things happen.
Where are we going with this whole thing? Like, I'm just trying to figure out, when we look at the rest of the season, what they're playing for, how to keep things somewhat intact for next year. Like, what is on the line after when they get back out on the field Sunday? What's on the line for the rest of the season?
Well, I think basically what's on the line for the rest of the season is determining who are your core players for next season and what decisions are going to be made based off of what you see in these final eight games, because they will have big decisions to make on their roster just in terms of financially and otherwise. So I think that's really what it's all about, more so than anything. And they are determined to win as many games as they possibly can. There is no talk whatsoever of tanking to get a higher draft pick. That is not in the paradigm right now. This is all about going out, playing the best football that they can, and making decisions based on winning. If that wasn't the case, they'd probably start playing Dorian Thompson-Robinson or Bailey Zappe a little bit to see what he can do right now. And they're not doing that. They're sticking with Jameis. They think that Jameis gives them the best chance to win at this moment, and that's what they're going to do there and at every other position. So I think this is about trying to figure out exactly what they have and exactly what they want to keep for next year.
Mary-Kate Cabot joining us, PlainDealerCleveland.com, where she covers the Browns like nobody's business. Let me go back to Jed Wills for 1 second, and more big picture here. And as you said, you wouldn't rule out him returning to the team. I agree with you completely. You can't have too much depth on the offensive line. Jack Conklin is only 30 years old, but Jack has had an injury history. You ever had a sense of whether Jack wants to be one of those guys who plays into his mid to late 30s, or is Jack one of those guys who might think, you know what, I've been beat up and I want to get out with my health after having a fine NFL career?
You know, we haven't talked to Jack about this yet, but as you mentioned, since he is only 30 years old and since he has worked so incredibly hard to come back from these really devastating yes. injuries, and we don't ever give him enough credit.
And he's good, Mary Kay. He's good.
Yeah, he's really good. We don't give him enough credit for what he's had to do to battle back from these devastating injuries. So because he's done that, I would have to think that maybe he would like to continue on And we will have these conversations as we go along in these final 8 weeks of the season, because that's really all there is to talk about anymore is what is your future? What are your hopes and dreams? What are your plans? And so he will be in that category for us. So will Joe Bitonio, trying to figure out maybe where his head is at. But again, that's what this is all about. This next eight games is trying to figure out what you can do from a financial standpoint, a roster standpoint, what you have to do to make sure that you can field a winning football team, because that is what the aim will be for next year. This is not a teardown. Andrew Berry made that clear in his press conference. They are not tearing this football team down. You don't have to do that in the NFL. You can look at teams like the Steelers and other teams that just keep chugging along, even though things aren't necessarily perfect. And I think that's what the Browns are going to have to do. Nobody has the stomach for a teardown.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us. Jameis Winston, Mary Kay, had one game against the worst pass defense in the NFL, but it was Baltimore. So, you know, credit for that. And then had one game against the stingiest points allowed defense in the NFL in the Chargers. We have any real good feel for what he can do, or is that still to come here in the final part of this season?
Well, I think it's still to come. And the key, of course, with Jameis Winston is that he has to protect the ball and be very, very careful with the football. And they're going to have to scheme it up so that he has opportunities to be more careful with the football, because five dropped interceptions and three interceptions in two games, it's just way too much. And that is going to get him a one-way ticket over there to the sideline next to Kevin Stefanski if that keeps up. So he's got to stop doing that, not just for the Browns, but for himself. If he wants an opportunity to be a starting quarterback or to be a bridge quarterback or to have an opportunity to challenge for a starting job, he needs to make sure that he is protecting the football. So that will be paramount going forward. But I think at some point they probably will still want to see some of Dorian Thompson-Robinson and maybe even some of Bailey Zappe. Again, they have big decisions to make in that quarterback room.
All right, let's go with the guys the quarterbacks go to. That's wide receiver Cedric Tillman's been playing pretty well since they've given him the opportunity. Who else has a chance to emerge here, I guess, in the second half of the season? I want to see Jamari Thrash. I know where he kind of sits on the depth chart, but I'd like to see him get a little bit of time and make him active on Sundays.
Yeah, they should take a look at Jamari Thrash, and maybe it won't be right away because they have other guys in front of him, but why not see what you have, get him some valuable playing time, and then you can hit the ground running with a player like that for next year if it seems like he's going to be one of your key players. So I would get him out there. There are going to be some really good defenses that they're going to be playing, so you can get some good film on him. So he's one guy to take a look at. And then Isaiah McGuire, he will have a larger role now that Za'Darius Smith is gone. He'll be behind Obo there at right end or left end. And then so I think he's somebody that I think can take a step up on this football team. So that's someone to watch. And then Mike Hall, he's been coming on pretty strong. And, of course, we know that they let Quentin Jefferson go. And one of the reasons is because Mike Hall emerged and they wanted to have him on the field even more. So these are some of the young guys to watch, and I think you'll see some good performances.
Mary Kay, what do they do with Nick Chubb the rest of the year? How do you think Nick should be used?
Well, I think Nick should continue to carry the ball but split time. I would give Jerome Ford a few more opportunities and just kind of divide it up. I would use all the backs. I would make sure that now you're getting into the bad weather game and you're getting into these AFC North games, that you have a robust running game. That's going to help everyone. And so I would split it up a little bit and give everyone a chance.
Let's talk defense. Where do you think we're looking to grow here on D for the second half? Like, who's got the most to gain, especially if you're a younger, although I don't know if that's the right question, but I'll ask that like Mike Hall. Who's got the most to gain here in the second half of the season?
Well, I think one of the things that needs to happen that you would like to see on that defense, and I threw this into my notes today, is the fact that they don't have an interception from any of their defensive backs at all yet this season in 9 games. And that seems preposterous to me. Now, they've gotten some hands on some footballs, but they have to corral those and secure those and be a big part of the takeaway game. So that's one thing I think to look forward. Now, we've seen a lot of them drop some interceptions. We've seen Denzel get his hands on some and some other guys. So you want to see these guys get involved in the takeaway game a little bit. And I think you, you know, you just also want to see some of these guys step up a little bit more. Like Martin Emerson Jr. did not have a great first half. I think he's capable of a much better second half of the season. And you really want to see that from him. Hopefully over the bye week, he hit the reset button a little bit and got a little bit refreshed, and he's going to come back strong. You want to see some more big plays from your safeties. These guys are capable of more than they've even been able to show so far. Now, linebacker is going to be a little bit challenging because you might not have JOK for the rest of the season. That seems like a pretty serious neck injury to me. So we don't know what's going to happen there. On the better news front there is the fact that Jordan Hicks came back to practice yesterday. He's a good, good linebacker, and he should be back on the field this week.
Mary Kay, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Mary Kay.
Mary Kay Cabot, Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Has done a terrific job covering the team and was a big part of Jedrick Wills' conversation yesterday in that locker room. Who else should be making a business decision on this team? Think about that. We'll have thoughts on it next because I have a couple of guys who I think should definitely make some business decisions.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Lima was first on this bid. Lima today, and in fairness, I want to set this up right, because Lima started asking this question, I want to say, maybe 4 weeks ago, maybe 5 weeks ago, because we keep attacking this Browns team, literally. We keep attacking this situation as if it's just a Deshaun problem or just a coaching problem or just a team construction problem. And so Lima, first on the scene on this one, and set it up again today. Actually, he was in response to our conversation about what a bad loss this would be to the Saints, and that led to Lima putting this one out there again.
I don't think we're nearly as talented as even I thought we were. I think that, like, we in Cleveland, we don't know the players on some of these teams. But as you can see, I think people would much rather be Washington going forward than us. I think people would rather be the Chargers going forward than us. But we have so much talent. I think
they have quarterbacks.
I think they also have young players we don't know. We don't have the young players that other people don't know that are good. Like, I think we just have a bunch of players that are bigger names. Like, David Njoku is a bigger name than a lot of teams have tight ends. He's got 255 yards. We're halfway through the year. He's going to have a terrible production year. That's... I think at this point, other teams
have... Well, he's injured and he's had bad quarterbacks thrown to him.
Sure. Okay. I mean, but are we paying attention to other guys on other teams like that? No. We keep saying we're more talented than all these teams. Are we? Doesn't talent win out sometimes? It hasn't.
So I do want to give Lima credit because this has been a pretty consistent point that he's had. And I've had this creeping realization. And I don't know that this is a theory. This is not a fact.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that they're not talented. I just wonder if the talent they do have is getting too old and too injury prone on top of a disastrous quarterback situation.
Okay, I like that you put it that way because I didn't know that a lot of people were living with the idea that this team was loaded with talent still. Like on the offensive side of the ball, at least. And the defensive side of the ball, I think we see a lot of talent. And maybe that's where we skew towards the defense. And then we skew towards, you know, Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward and JOK and all these guys that we think are just awesome. And legitimately in those three players' instances are. But offensively, I mean, Nick, I think, 2 weeks ago, we had a whole conversation about how I think I put the wide receiver group at 25th in the NFL after the Amari Cooper trade. We have no running game right now. Maybe Nick Chubb ends up getting back to old form, but right now we have no running game. And the offensive line was supposed to be a top five offensive line in the sport. It looks like a bottom five offensive line in the sport. Like, you couple that all together, I don't know that I see talent everywhere.
So, I think it's a really tough point. It's the right point to ask the question, but it's a tough point to have the right answer because recency bias will just tell everyone, no, they suck and they're awful and screw this team.
Yeah, exactly the thing that Lima did when it came to David Njoku. And I think he was right to point out, like, if you wanted to, you could look at Njoku having 250 yards and you're like, well, the production isn't there.
Yeah.
He's not a productive player this year. Outside looking in, you can make a case that David Njoku, not that great, but we know better than that.
Well, and I think that's what makes this whole analysis so interesting. Is last year, this team was good enough to do what they did last year.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, they never were. And I don't know. And like, I do think like this year tends to be a domino effect. Like, you weren't healthy. You weren't healthy where I think it matters. Like, Dalvin wasn't really ready to play until early September. Your entire offensive line, all three of your tackles, even Dewan, even though he's playing, was not healthy.
Yeah.
Your guards got banged up. Joel clearly is not healthy, hasn't been this year. Ethan Posick, been in and out of the lineup. So, like, is it talent or is it just you're just really injured? And are you injured early in the season? Because last year, if you remember, like, yeah, okay, Nick and Deshaun were injured. And so it gave you this appearance of, well, you're the most injured team. But Miles was healthy. Denzel was healthy for most of the season, but not all the season. JOK was healthy all season. The O-line, at least the internal part of the O-line, was healthy pretty much.
Internal was there because outside was busted up. We used 11 different linemen last year.
But like Amari was healthy. So like you had enough health at the right positions. And I actually think they kind of rallied around the fact they didn't have a quarterback at some point. Like, I think that became a motivating factor of everybody being like, well, you can't keep doing this. So I think it almost took the steam out. I think this team has succumbed to injuries, a little bit of ego and a little bit of pressure. And then I do think the core is older. So the question is, I don't know if Lime is right or not, but I'm starting to be concerned that if this is your core is just getting older and can't stay healthy, that's where this goes from. One-year retool or whatever however we're going to try and rebrand it to make everybody look the other way and act like this isn't going to be a rebuild from an actual rebuild where you do have to tear it down a lot more and it takes you 3 years to get back here.
Yeah, I just think sometimes, though, and this is, I just think sometimes we look at our own guys and then we say, well, they're obviously great or they're obviously way better in our minds than we think. I'll never forget. Well, I mean, at some point I'll forget. I don't know why I always lead up with that. But when I had Matthew Collar on before the season, and obviously the big part of that was him talking about the offense not being great and all this other nonsense. But I remember asking him about MJ Emerson. And this is a guy that not only covers football, he's written football books, okay? Legitimate books on football. And if you ask around the NFL, they'll tell you he's one of the best when it comes to the Vikings, right? All the qualifiers are there. I said, so what do you think about MJ Emerson? I heard he had a really good day of practice yesterday. And he goes, hey, Jonathan, I don't know who that is. I don't know who MJ Emerson is. I'm just not going to lie to you. I'm not going to sit here and tell you he looked great when I don't. I don't know who that guy is. And I think MJ Emerson, if you ask a Browns fan, not only will we say we know MJ Emerson, we talk about how much we like MJ Emerson, right, the bad year he's having, everything attached to it, but we could go on before the season got underway about how he's like an up-and-coming great corner, probably going to get a $100 million deal somewhere down the line. All these great things before the season. And a known football guy had no idea who he is. And that's not a shot at Matthew Collar. That's just the reality of it. Like, in our mind, I do think we overrate, or at least we hype up guys like that way too often.
I don't know, because guys who do watch film
have called out MJ Emerson. So I'm open to, is this just maybe who MJ is and he's been propped up by the talent around him? I'm open to that. But to the moment, I've got two good years of MJ Emerson versus this guy we're seeing right now.
So, the debate isn't necessarily whether or not MJ Emerson is still good or isn't good. The idea that I'm trying to stress here is that a known football guy that covers the league and does everything around the league, in our eyes, MJ Emerson might as well have been Jesus Christ on the football field. Like, he's just awesome. He's this. He's that. Everyone knows who he is. But the league doesn't know him.
Well, no. I think Matthew Collar doesn't know them. Because I will say, like, I think now we're getting into kind of a nuanced part here. I think people paid a lot of attention to Dwan last year. I think people paid a lot of attention to MJ Emerson. Brian Baldinger is one of the guys who's been like, you guys, the rest of the league is missing out on MJ Emerson. I think part of this is the Browns haven't been good for back-to-back seasons, and that's how you know guys that aren't Myles Garrett or JOK. But to your point, I do think even guys like MJ Emerson and Dwan Jones, I no longer know if you're going to be the supplemented part of the core or not. 216-474-0092. Is talent the Browns' problem? Lima's been all over this for a minute, and at the fact that I can't answer definitively doesn't make me feel great.
Well, let's talk about some of the drop-offs then that you mentioned there, because like Dwan, MJ, there's a couple other players we can bring into the equation that you do now. You went from a check plus to now we're in that kind of muddy territory. Like, mm-hmm. is that actually, is MJ Emerson something that when Andrew Berry goes to the table and says, here's all the success I've had, does he bring MJ Emerson's name into the mix? Does he bring Dwan Jones' name into the mix? If he was trying to do a defense for his job, does he count that as a check plus?
Yeah, he probably does. The problem is it might lead to him unintentionally throwing somebody under the bus who right now he is tied at the hip with, at least publicly, and that's Kevin Stefanski. Because I think, okay, are we talented? Or because if you don't think this is a talent issue, then you think it's a coaching issue. And I will say, the fact that I don't definitively know either way, with what, 8 games to go in a lost season?
Is that the problem?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make me feel great. But we got that. Obviously, you guys can get to at Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We got Danny Green, former Cavs former Cavalier, and now NBA analyst joining us at 3. We'll get his thoughts on where the Cavs are. The too good, too early conversation that I've seen on social media, but I don't think I've actually seen any NBA analyst sink their teeth into. We've also got Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider, at 4. We'll ask him about this Saints game and what it represents for the Browns. Darryl Ryder coming up at 6 o'clock. We've got Quick Hits at 2:40. We've got Bandwagons at 5:40. All the things today, but 216-474-0092. Is talent the Browns' main problem? We've got that, and where I think JP wants to go. I don't know it's an out, but I think it is a defense of Kevin Stefanski. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. So the conversation started with us, and I think it's an interesting one. Is Kevin Stefanski the Browns' JB Bickerstaff? And then the last segment, before we went to a couple calls, I answered this, but I don't think you got a chance to. Because just because he might be the guy that gets you off the ground floor but doesn't get to the penthouse doesn't mean that we have to rush the decision on him unless you think the obvious guy is in the building. But pretty much, like, there will be another Mike Vrabel. As much as I like Mike and think it just makes total sense, think he would speak to the fan base in a way that the Ivy Leaguers just doesn't. So you'd have your mix of really, really smart people with a guy who's really, really smart but speaks to the average Clevelander or the average Northeast Ohioan. And oh, by the way, has won a bunch of football games as well. Is a really smart head coach.
Yeah.
So I don't think he'd be going backwards. That, to me, is the best of both worlds. But again, that doesn't mean you have to fire. Like, I think Kevin is the JB Bickerstaff of the Cleveland Browns. That doesn't mean you have to make that move now.
Yeah,
you have to make it in time.
I also think, like, we got to look at this in the proper perspective, right? Like, Mike Vrabel, for instance, I think he's too successful of a head coach to be lumped into then, that's now Kenny Atkinson. Yeah, because the Cavs did have to roll the dice here. It's not as if Atkinson was some sort of awesome head coach in Brooklyn. He was well-perceived. People liked him, Nick, but he wasn't what Vrabel was with Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, Vrabel was kind of, around the NFL, looked at as, like, kind of the wunderkind, which is interesting because I mean, they had really four winning seasons out of six seasons.
Yeah, I mean, but we had a guy in that covers Golden State. I can't remember who exactly it was. I was going to ask Keith before the show. But
we had call him Mike.
Let's call him Mike. It actually seems like it might have been a Mike.
More Tim.
Nah, it was more Mike than it was Tim.
Bruce?
He talked so much crap about Atkinson and the time that he was there with Golden State. Like, when we did the whole, like, what coach are they going to hire?
Yeah.
He talked so much about how Atkinson isn't the right guy. Atkinson is problematic. Atkinson is this. Atkinson. Like, it's not a slam dunk. For Vrabel, seems like a slam dunk to many NFL fans.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. But just because they went from JB to Kenny Atkinson doesn't mean you're following the same formula. Like, I to me, this is more about Kevin. But do you think, by the way, like, when we get back to that question, if, because you agree, right? You think Kevin is their JB Bickerstaff?
I think Kevin is the type of guy that can get you to a good spot. That's like what I think Kevin, when it's all said and done 15 years from now, I think will be perceived in a very similar way that JB Bickerstaff is perceived around the league, where it's like he can get you to a good spot. He's a good head coach. But that's about all that he's going to be good for there. And so, I hate that for Kevin, but that's just how I see it as of right now. And I defend Kevin often, but it's just how I think this is shaping out.
So if that is the case, and if the Browns agree with your assessment by the end of this season, does that mean you have to fire him?
I'm not there. I'm not there at the firing thing. Okay. I'm not there
and
yet.
And by the way, neither am I.
And I do think it. I think a caller last segment made a really good point about the position that the Cavs are in relative to the position the Browns are in. Atkinson is inheriting a core four. He's inheriting four guys that make $200 million. If you move off of Stefanski, like right now, next season, you might be back in that basement that you would need the type of guy that is Kevin Stefanski to go ahead and bring you back to a good spot.
Yeah, but I don't think those guys are... Okay, you can do worse from here, and that should be noted. You can do worse from here. But I think this job is more attractive now from the stability standpoint, and people are going to look at Myles Garrett and Denzel, and if JOK is healthy, and they're going to look at this and go, well, 2 years ago it was an 11-win team. This isn't the same thing as it had been, Kevin was the fourth head coach in 3 years with, I think it was four different play callers, with a quarterback you didn't choose. Like, there's talent here, and you get to pick your quarterback over the next 2 years.
How does someone like Ben Johnson perceive this job?
Oh, I don't know that. I don't think, he's kind of the bell of the ball. Then again, I mean,
Bobby Slowick, someone like that. You know what I mean? Some of these, and you're right. Ben Johnson's the bell of the ball, but like, how do those guys perceive this job?
That's another guy I want to hire. I want an experienced guy from here, and I think that's really important. I think if you go back to another guy who doesn't have experience, do you know what I think you're saying?
By the way, I agree with you on that, and that's why I mentioned Kingsbury earlier, because it's one of those, we were playing in that same realm of coaches. Like, they have the experience, they have that to themselves.
Yeah, but I'd like a good experience former NFL head coach.
You're not a Kingsbury guy. It's well noted.
216-474-0092. Let's go with Pee Wee football coach. I will also call you Mike.
Guys, it's so frustrating to listen to idiots talk about Coach Stefanski in a negative way. Here's bottom line. Like, I'm a four-time, maybe 12-time coach of the year for Pee Wee football because my sole purpose is finding the best athlete, the best runner, the biggest one, the strongest one. I give him the ball like 35 times a game, right? And as a result, we win games because the player makes plays and wins me games. I've got like a trophy wall. I'm like really good at this. Coach Stefanski was a two-time coach of the year because the players made plays. What's happening now, unfortunately, is they're not making plays, and he looks like a bad coach. If he got fired right now, he'd be hired tomorrow.
So
right?
Many cliches.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's again, I sign autographs on – like, I'm really good at what I do because I let my players make plays and they make plays.
How hard do you yell at those little bastards?
Oh, no, man. I give them ice cream after the game. Everyone's a winner. It's so awesome.
All right. Enough of that guy.
You wanted to do it all day.
I didn't think he'd swing in on the bit that hard.
I don't think he was prepared for anything beyond the 15 seconds that we gave him. I think he thought he was going to get run off, and you're like, let's see where you take this, man.
For a minute, I thought it was like a funny shot at Ken, maybe, because Ken is but then I was when we went to the 10 or 12 things, I was like, I think this guy might actually, this might not be a bit. This guy actually believes this. By the way, if your only defense of Kevin Stefanski is two-time coach of the year, which is an award that is voted on by people who do not cover every team every single game, that is problematic. What was the other defense of it? When he's had good players, he's won? Or did the players look good when they've won and all of a sudden look crappy when they've lost? It's a sign that the coach doesn't really have a lot to do with it. I don't think that's a great sign either.
Not a great sign.
I just think this pass that Stefanski gets is just wild to me. He's the only head coach in Cleveland Browns history. Like, guys, there were people...
That's the thing, though, is we're hanging on and we're clinging on to good. The same way some people clung on to what we perceived to be was good with J.B. Bickerstaff. I mean, it's not hard to see better days on the horizon. You just have to look at someone like Atkinson and see what the change has been there. You can get rid of good and make it a lot better.
Eddie in Westlake, what's up, buddy? What you got for us?
Hey, you know what? I think you got... This is the thing. Yeah, I'm kind of torn because I really don't want to get rid of him after having this one bad year like this because he had a lot of stuff not going his way. But the other thing I'm torn about is if they continue to lose and quarterback is what they're taking early, then do you want Kevin Stefanski? I mean, at the end of the day, man, like there's been other big quarterbacks that looked good in his system for a period of time. And then they fizzle out. I don't know. You know, like Baker Mayfield was looking good for a certain period of time, and then he didn't. And then you know, Flacco looked good. You know, and time. And
yeah, all right, that's too many.
I think we got what you're saying, though.
I think that's another one of the most overstated things.
That's the dangerous part of Stefanski, isn't it, Nick?
Yeah,
is that he shows you just enough, and he has players that show you just enough. You know, it's good. It's not bad, but we go back to the same reason why they upgraded over Baker or thought they were upgrading over Baker. Like, you, at some point, you need the guy to take you to the next level.
Well, and it's just, like, I just think the quarterback thing is, like, guys, it's not that hard to make good quarterbacks. Like Jacoby Brissett, guys, he looked the same in Cleveland like he did in Indianapolis. And there's a reason Jacoby didn't get a starting job out of that one either. Like, Baker's looked better in Tampa in his last 2 years than he did at his peak in Cleveland. Now, maybe that's not all on Kevin because...
There's some maturity there.
Well, there's some maturity, and let's be honest with you, Kevin was digging out of a crevasse of Baker having three different play callers and three different head coaches in his first 2 years. That is bird brain when it comes to development of a young quarterback. Stability is the best friend, so I'll give you that. But... Okay, but then I can't give you the pass for Kevin making the decision to play on Baker when Baker wasn't playing well or when Baker was hurt. Like, guys, that is something that a real leader does. We've made it into this idea that Kevin isn't responsible for making the decision on guys' play. Well, it's just a doctor's decision. Yeah, that is a head coach decision. Like, if a head coach in other spots, if a head coach is like, well, the doctors have cleared him, but I don't think he can go, players don't play.
It's an all-encompassing thing, for sure it is.
And it's just so weird, like the things that you can hammer Kevin on, it's like, well, that's not his fault. Well, okay, then we're just not having an honest conversation about this because you are afraid of going back to Pat Shurmur.
Well, like, and that's the heart of it, right? That's the heart of it, is people are just, they're scared of going back to Pat Shurmur.
Like, good coaches aren't that hard to find in the NFL. That's just a sign of how dumb the Browns have been and how flawed their hiring processes have been for a very long time. Like, he's a good coach. And by the way, that narrative should change if he goes 2-15. It's hard. It is much easier to go 11-5 than it is to go 2-15 if you've been in a place for 5 years. That doesn't mean they automatically should fire him. But this idea that there's some sort of gilded seal for this guy, I just don't see it. 216-474-0092. Not going to do it. Is Kevin Stefanski, J.B. Bickerstaff for the Cleveland Browns. When we come back, we debuted it last week. We bring it back with a new name. It is time for The Narrative. Is that good? Is that good?
I mean, it was a big punch, I'll tell you that.
The Narrative with Jonathan Peterlin on 92.3 The Fan.
The Browns' offense hasn't been good, and now they go to New Orleans this week to take on the Saints. And a Saints team that hasn't been very good and then played really well last week and got a win.
Andy. Yeah.
So, in theory, you got to think the Browns need some points this week, wouldn't you?
I would assume so.
And what's been an issue for the Browns this year?
Scoring points, Jeff.
Scoring points has been an issue for the Browns. Not what we were expecting, I think, is safe to say. I don't know that we thought they were going to be an offensive juggernaut or anything, but one game this year, Andy, it's still one game this year that this team has scored more than 18 points in a game. What the hey? How does that happen? It was 29 against Baltimore. How does that happen?
You want the truth? The truth is your offensive line is completely banged up. Your starting quarterback really never looked like he was healthy, and then all of a sudden you had to go to your backup quarterback to be the first guy to get you over 300 yards in a game, and your offensive line suddenly looked better because your backup quarterback was throwing the ball out a lot faster than your starting quarterback at the beginning of the year.
Okay, and that results in one game over 18 points.
And two wins on the whole season.
That's what the Browns have. Ken Dorsey is the offensive coordinator. He's also now the play caller. That's been a thing, correct?
Yeah, and correct. He was the play caller for, what, the most successful game they've had this season?
Correct, and then another game where they put up 10 points.
Yeah, good point.
Against a pretty good defense, though. Ken was asked, he spoke with the media today, and we talked to our Daryl Ryder shortly thereafterwards. A number of things have not gone real well for the Browns offensively this year, including the running game. And Ken Dorsey was asked about the issues with the running game.
I think when you look back at it, you evaluate, okay, what schemes have been effective for us? What schemes have not been effective for us and why? I think when you go back and look at it, there's some concepts that we've run very well, and there's some concepts that we weren't as effective in.
Well, that makes sense. The Browns, Andy, 28th right now in rushing in the National Football League at 91 yards per game.
Jeff, what do you think their highest number of yards for a running back in a single game has been this year? The number. I don't care about the person. Just yards.
Let's go 73.
Oh, you are such the optimist. 64.
Well, I'm close.
Jerome Ford in the win over Jacksonville week two.
Here's the one thing that surprises me about the running game. I know the offensive line has been discombobulated, guys in and out, and flat out not as effective as it was. Forget the reasons and everything else. Last year they had injuries and they were able to figure it out. This year they've had injuries. They've not been able to make it work as well. I've still been surprised because, you know, I'm a Deontay Foreman fan.
I know you are.
I'm a Pierre Strong fan.
Yes, you are.
And I don't mind Jerome Ford.
Mm-hmm.
I am a little higher on Deontay and Pierre than I am on Jerome, but I think all three are real capable NFL running backs. And it's surprising to me that while Nick Chubb was out, not one of those guys really kind of stepped up and was like, hey, look, I can be the man here. And some of it's opportunity. I'm a little surprised that it hasn't worked out. And I'm not surprised that Nick Chubb has come back and looked pedestrian because he's coming back from a huge injury.
Yeah.
And he's running behind this line that for whatever reason has not been its usual self. I hope with a little more continuity now on the line that those guys can get it together and the running game can reappear.
Although,
we'll see about that.
The other part of that is trying to get balance, right? So, I mean, I'll throw another little quick trivia question for you. How many times this season has a receiver had over 100 yards in a game?
A receiver had over 100 yards in a game this year. Let's go with this many.
That is correct. Zero. Yeah. Yes. You were 1 yard short in the Baltimore game for Tillman, who was at 99. But the Browns have failed to get a receiver over 100 yards, too. So there's no balance there. Right?
No.
You're not only getting the rush, you're not getting any giant number receiving games.
In the first game where he was the starting quarterback for the Browns, Jameis Winston led the Browns to a victory over the Baltimore Ravens, and they put up all those points, Andy.
Yeah.
More than 18, in fact, 29 points in a game. That game, as somebody already called and reminded us, but he threw several interceptions. They just weren't caught. Okay. I saw it, yeah, that's a valid point, but they weren't caught, so they weren't interceptions, so he didn't throw three interceptions in that game. He did against the Chargers, and Ken Dorsey, as the quarterback guru, whisperer, offensive coordinator, play caller, had to talk to his quarterback, Jameis Winston, after he threw three interceptions.
The big thing that we preach is we got to trust our eyes, trust what we see out there. So I think when you do that as a quarterback and you trust your progressions, you know, everything else takes care of itself. There's no need to force anything. There's no need to, you know, feel like, hey, I got to make a play right here. The plays come through just trusting our eyes and trusting our progression.
Okay. Does Jameis take that, process it, and do better against the Saints?
Yeah. I think he does. I think he's going to have a better game this week. Yes.
You know what my fear is? And I don't know Jameis.
Too hyped?
My fear is he gets a little too excited going back down there. The one thing that might be working in his favor, Sean Payton's not the coach there anymore, nor is Dennis Allen. And so maybe because the coach isn't there anymore, he doesn't get quite as hyped as he might.
Yeah, it's got to be something you watch out for in the beginning of the game.
I would think so.
Yeah, I don't think there's any.
I would think so. The 29.
He'll settle in, though. I think he'll settle in pretty quick.
How an offense can play this many games, 9, and score more than 18 points just once is pretty befuddling. Dorsey was asked about pressure on the offense to actually produce.
The only thing I'm focused on is this offense operating at a level that we want to get it to. And that's all I'm worried about. I'm just worried about our guys and competing and going out and executing at a high level and controlling what I can control, just like I want my players to do. I want my players to control what they control, go out and give me everything you got during the week in preparation, let it fly on game day.
Okay. That was a coach answer.
Sure was.
That's all right. Dan Menigan would expect nothing less.
That's true.
Are the young wide receivers going to get more of a chance? Now, young wide receivers, I think you have to because that's what you have. Cedric Tillman has looked really good. I think Jerry Jeudy is still considered a young wide receiver. I don't think that's who everybody was asking about. You might be thinking about Andy's guy, Jamari Thrash.
Yeah, I like Jamari.
Here's what Ken Dorsey had to say.
We feel really good about that room in terms of receivers and what we have in there. And we've got some young guys who I think can contribute and want to. And we'll just evaluate that on a weekly basis as we continue to go.
Okay. Yet another. Evaluate weekly basis. Continue to go. Glad we picked that bite just so the Dan could play that.
He loves it.
Do you think the offense will get better this year? It flat out, simple, easy question. Do you think the offense will improve?
Yes, I do. I do think.
I do too.
I think they're going to get better. I really think having 2 weeks off was huge for this team. It gave the offensive line a little bit more time just to rest up and not have to worry about, you know, the typical practice stuff and not maybe tweaking something here. I'm sure they're not hitting each other at practice, or if they are, it's very light. You know, I don't know. I look at this team right now and I feel like they needed 2 weeks off and maybe they could reset. I have no hopes for anything beyond this regular season, but I would like to see them finish strong and play, you know, with a little bit of pride. 2 wins sucks. It's tired of looking at that for 2 weeks. Go get a third win and then see what happens after that.
Well, you know, one reason that I'm pulling for them to be better than they've been is this. I think you got a lot of questions to answer. I wasn't crazy, and if you've listened to the show, you know this. I wasn't crazy about the overall talent on the offense anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the wide receiver group needed.
When's the last time you were, though, about the wide receivers?
It's been a while.
It has been a long time.
It's been a real long time. I think they've neglected wide receivers in putting this team together. And I think that that's a bad mistake. I mean, Joe Burrow's really good. Joe Burrow's been throwing to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd and other guys who have stepped up and done a really nice job. Tyler Boyd's not there now, but he was. And that's your third receiver. If he was on this team, he'd be your number one or two receiver, I would think. And teams just keep reloading at that position. You know, look what the Bears did this offseason, right? They drafted Rome Odunze, brought in Keenan Allen, who's an older receiver but still very talented, and got DJ Moore, the year before? mean, you keep bringing in talent at the skill positions and keep throwing it out there on the football field. Steelers bring in Mike Williams, beat up, but they bring him in. You keep reloading there. Our team keeps its fingers crossed that they can get guys either through trades on teams that are bailing on them or in the third round or deeper in the draft. I personally don't think that's the way to get her done.
Next year, I am convinced they're going to take a quarterback in the first round. But I don't want to turn it and manifest it into my idea. If there's not a good quarterback, then I guess I just don't want to take a quarterback. At least that's what I want to tell myself. I want to be open to all things. But, Tone, am I open? Should I be open to Jameis Winston in 2025? Can the next 8 games convince you that he could be the starter? Can he make the case to be the starter in 2025? 216-474-0092. Go.
He can definitely make that case to a lot of people. I am not one of those he can make the case to. I am closed-minded on this. I want nothing to do with Jameis Winston as the starting quarterback next year, and I certainly don't want a quarterback room that is the exact same as this year's quarterback room coming into the season. I think that would be deflating to Browns fans. I think that would be a very, very tough sell to season ticket holders. No thank you.
So then you're not, there's nothing he can do.
No,
then.
No. He started over
just move
80
move
games in
on.
His NFL career.
Yeah.
I do not think this is going to go the way of Geno Smith or even Sam Darnold, who
are
is starting to leak a little bit.
All right. Now, to play devil's advocate, as you would say, are you watching college football a lot?
Yeah.
I imagine you are. Does any one of these guys here, I mean, right now you're drafting third. Does any one of these guys tell you that you want to go up to the booth and give them the card
all,
and turn
so
it in?
They all have warts. They all have the ability, though, to get better.
That's Jameis, with every rookie quarterback. Jameis,
right?
That's nothing.
But Jameis has no ability to get better.
Do we
Jameis,
believe that
Jameis,
these guys will be as
I've
good as
seen,
Jameis?
I've seen Jameis. Yes, I do think. I do think quarterbacks right now. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, go back to his college career.
And say Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah,
I said
I'm saying,
these guys.
But I'm saying that's the reason. Nobody was saying Patrick Mahomes was a guaranteed going to be great. Nobody was even saying he was going to be good. Like, there was hope. There was like, he has this skill set. He has this skill set. He definitely has a ceiling. I think all these guys, I mean, Milroe has a ceiling that could be pretty high.
I don't want Jalen
but,
Milroe.
Okay, nobody
I'd rather have Jameis Winston.
I no way.
Yes.
No way, because with Jameis, yes, there's no hope. There's hope with
yeah,
a rookie
hope.
Quarterback.
There is hope. There's hope I could take one in 2025 or 2026 then.
Oh, so you're just
then,
trying
then
to put
that's
it,
the hope.
You're just trying to put it off.
Yeah,
for
I'm not making Jameis Winston a full-time starter and giving him a 3-year, $100 million contract or anything like that. I would then just extend Jameis Winston. Hey, if he plays that well, then he might play himself right out of Cleveland, but let's not put carts before horses here. I would still want him to then start next year and then see what we would do. If the choices came down to Jalen Milroe or Jameis Winston, I'm just going to take Jameis Winston and take my chances. I'm going to have fun some Sundays. I'm going to rip my hair out some Sundays.
Do you think Sean Payton would rather have Jameis Winston or Bo Nix?
I don't have
because
Sean Payton.
The reason I'm asking is because Bo Nix coming out, you would have said the exact same thing. I think Denver fans are much happier with Bo Nix right now than they are Jameis Winston.
I'm sure they are.
I think Jameis Winston is just a non-entity to get fans excited.
Bo Nix, Jameis Winston is a non-entity
to get fans excited.
Okay, but they'll get excited about any draft pick that
sure,
they take.
Yes, yes.
I'm looking for the guy who gives me the best shot to win over the course of time. So if you're giving me Cam Ward hold on.
You'd rather win with Jameis next year?
No, listen to me
that
for a
damn second. That just kills your
second.
Draft pick.
Listen to me for a second.
That's just not logical.
Can I say something here?
Yeah.
I am still in the camp of taking a quarterback in the draft. That is my opinion. You gave me Jalen Milroe. That is not a quarterback I want to take. I'm not just taking any quarterback. I am going to listen to Cam Ward. I am going to listen to Shedeur Sanders. I will listen to Garrett Nussmeier and maybe a couple others, but I'm not sure how far that's all going to go. And maybe there's another one I'm not thinking about. It ain't going to be Jalen Milroe. I don't want him. They'll probably get him, and then I'm going to have to deal with that. I got nothing against the young man. I'm just very skeptical. It feels very running back playing quarterback, and he shouldn't be I don't believe that he's going to make a great NFL quarterback. I believe Cam
right,
Ward,
Bill
even
Polian,
though he's a
Lamar Jackson.
Whoa. Hey,
very wide receiver playing quarterback.
I'm serious about that. Don't you do that.
Why are you
don't
getting,
you do that?
Why are you
Because you know
mad?
What? No, because you know what people accuse
but
Bill
I'm
Polian
saying,
of, and you're not going to accuse me of that.
But I'm saying.
Stop it right now.
I don't understand why you're getting so mad
you
about that.
You know what people
that's
think
like
about
a,
Bill Polian
like,
because of what he said.
What? That he got it wrong? That he's a wide receiver?
Oh, no. There's something way worse about that. So you're not going to put me in that category. Don't you ever compare me to that guy.
I think it is far too early to say Jalen Milroe can't be a quarterback. I think you're being blinded by the same things that Bill Polian was blinded by.
I'm not blinded by
saying that great athlete that you're assuming can't get better.
I'm not
going
to sit here and be compared to Bill Polian. I'm going to tell you right now, I'll turn the mic off and walk out of the room.
I think that's laughable that you're being that offended.
I will be that offended.
By the most obvious of comparisons.
I will be that offended.
You saying Milroe is a running back, that's what people were saying about Lamar Jackson.
No, they're not. They were saying he was a wide receiver, and remember, I defended Lamar Jackson. I'm not. I don't want to take Jalen Milroe.
Okay,
is my answer. Can you not accept that?
We're having a grown up conversation here,
and
you seem like you can't escape.
No, I think you're trying to put me in different boxes here that I don't want to be put in.
I am not. I'm saying that for you to put a cap on Jalen Milroe at this stage of his career to me is silly.
He's been a quarterback for the last couple of years.
And
it's silly. What's his stage?
And as silly as Bill Polian putting a cap on Lamar Jackson. That was my comparison.
Well, I'm not.
I think that's an obvious comparison.
If you want to have a back and forth.
Most obvious comparison.
If you want to have a back and forth, I'm telling you right now, move on from the Bill Polian
thing. You are projecting something that you...
If you want to have a back and forth, move on from it.
So we can't talk Jalen Milroe ever again on the show?
No, we can talk Jalen Milroe. Don't bring up the Bill Polian thing.
It's a little bit too close to the sun.
Don't bring up the Bill Polian thing.
Why
that's
is
all
that
I'm telling you
most,
to do. Oh, that's all I'm telling
I'm
you
sure
to do.
I'm sure I can find another person who also thought he was not a quarterback.
I'm sure you can. But damn it, when I'm looking at quarterbacks,
I just told you, it's a little silly.
It's not a pouty temper tantrum,
like,
it's the truth.
We can be grown-ups and actually talk draft punditry,
it's not a pouty temper tantrum, it's the truth. So if you want me to tell you the truth, I'm telling you the truth. Don't make comparisons between me and that nut
job. Who else am I not allowed to talk about?
You could talk about a lot of other things.
Okay.
Don't make that comparison.
There are people that don't think Shedeur Sanders should even be considered for
and
the Browns.
I'm worried about who I could compare him to. I'm different from those people.
Okay.
But there's going to be people who don't want to take him because of his father. Which I guess his father could be a very big distraction for everybody involved, but I mean, that's what you get. He's gotten
he
better this year.
Absolutely would be. Now they're asking if it would be a tandem.
But I'm telling you, if
you want to put him on the coaching staff.
If you want to go, like, if people are selling me Drew Aller. All right, Drew Aller's a fine young man from the local area. I don't think he's ready. I wish he'd go back to college for another year. I'd rather have Jameis Winston than Drew Aller for next year because I think you're putting him in a bad spot. Jalen Milroe, can I say this without you?
Sure.
Okay. Jalen Milroe, I think, is a better guy to take the ball and run off with it than look down the field and throw the ball.
Well, right now he is. He is.
And when am I going to have the time to develop him to do that? So I'm not going to take Jalen Milroe. I told you the quarterbacks I'm willing to take high. That's the ones I'm willing to take. I'm not going to take Jalen Milroe, and I'm not going to take him number 3 overall for crying out loud. I'd rather just go with Jameis Winston if that were the case.
And
take a good player around him and then build with someone else.
You did
which
say,
sucks, but I'd rather do that.
I get that. The problem is you did say you'd rather have Jameis and win with him. Well, if you do that, then you're taking yourself out of any of the great quarterbacks next year.
I didn't necessarily. Did I say win?
I thought you did.
Did I say win?
Just because, yes, Jameis.
If I said win, I take it back.
Jameis would
back.
Be a much more responsible quarterback. Even it's funny to say that with Jameis. Would be a much more responsible quarterback towards winning games next year. I just don't think that puts you in a better light. That's why I'm so out on it, because I know where that goes. I know Jameis can win games in the NFL. I know he's better than any of these guys right now as a quarterback in an NFL team. But I don't think that forward
well, that, part
that
I
pushes
agree with you.
Forward your football team.
Well, that part I agree with you. But I want the right quarterback, not just any first-round quarterback. And so if you tell me Cam Ward, hey, you know what? I know everybody don't like him because they lost the last game.
Yeah.
But I like Cam Ward. I know he's, 6 feet tall? All right, I can deal with 6 feet tall. I've dealt with 6 feet tall before. I like Cam Ward a lot.
He's thick. I will say that.
He is thick.
About him, he is pretty much like, who we saw last night, quarterbacking for Philadelphia.
But I'm not just going to take anybody at number 3 overall. I want to take the right guy at number 3 overall. That's my issue. And if it came down to Milroe or one of the other, Aller or one of the other ones I mentioned, yeah, I'm just going to go with Jameis Winston next year and pay the fiddler, even though it would be a very... boring offseason, I'll tell you that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.